Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, helping families love their homes again. Inspiration at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Picture a taco. What do you see? Does it look like the emoji version? That is one of the emoji versions scattered across the interwebs. If you think more with your ears or your tongue, perhaps taco conjures a crunch or a combo of flavors and textures that signal Mexican food. None of the above is an accident. It has developed over time, in many places, and through the migrations and imaginations of people who make, sell, and eat tacos near and far. Ignacio M. Sanchez Prado is a WashU professor and scholar of modern Mexican culture. He's also a prolific author whose newest book is devoted to the taco. It's titled Taco. And he joins us now to talk about it. Ignacio, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
So what do you picture when you hear taco?
I don't picture anything in particular because there's so many objects that have that name. Mm-hmm. The Mexico City version where I grew up is usually a corn tortilla with a meat filling mm-hmm. and just cilantro onion. Mm-hmm. But that's not what you would picture in the U.S. or it's not what you would picture mm-hmm. even in other parts of Mexico.
And depending mm-hmm. on where you are. So is that where your love, your taco love began in Mexico City?
I mean, it's very organic to Mexico City where I grew up. And my commute to school was 2.5 hours each way in networks of public transportation. And when you had that commute, you eat in the street food of the subway stations. And tacos are one of the options, but they're the most prominent option. And you can even eat different tacos every day. And that's really where I got used to them.
Mm-hmm. What is it that got you on the path of taco scholarship?
Well, I'm a professor of Mexican culture, right? And I have written about literature and cinema before. But the thing is that I like social practice. And I like topics that people don't look into, but that you can approach from many perspectives. And food is one of them, right? Mm-hmm. People think it's trivial or they think that it's too normal because it's what you do every day. But it has a lot of history. There's a lot of economics behind it. There's a lot of the ways people practice it. There's a lot of representation that you can do criticism for. So that's how I got into it. It's just like an extension of doing literature and cinema to me.
You have eaten tacos, Ignacio, all over the country and all over the world.
Yes.
And this new book, Taco, represents 5 years of scholarly and experiential research. Mm-hmm. So that experiential part of it, tell us about that.
Well, you know, one thing about doing experience is that we have ideas about things and reality doesn't correspond to them. So I have my ideas about the taco, but if you don't go eat tacos in Denmark, or see where they are in South Korea, or see how the people in Los Angeles do it differently than Mexico City, you really don't understand the object. So you have to immerse yourself in culture to be a culture scholar. You cannot just do it from the library and the books.
So you mentioned Denmark.
Yes.
What were the tacos you had in Denmark like?
So a Mexican-American chef, her name is Rocio Sanchez. She graduated from being a chef in NoMa, one of the greatest restaurants in the world. And she went to open a taco stand in the market in Copenhagen. Now she has an excellent sit-down restaurant. But her taquerisco, Lija de Sánchez, she has a pastor, which we can talk in a moment about it. And she also makes tacos with Norwegian ingredients like salmon skin. And she really elevated the concept of taco for the Danish, most of which only knew the taco that comes processed from the United States.
Mm-hmm. That processed version.
Yeah.
What does that consist of? It's really interesting that it's tied like to a particular brand.
Yes. So the two brands are Taco Bell as a restaurant and Old El Paso as a commodity brand, right? As a supermarket brand. The hard shell originates in the U.S., mostly by frying tortillas. As far as I understand, it's because it was a way to distill them. Glenn Bell, the founder of Taco Bell, had a stand of burgers next to a taqueria called Cafe Mitla in San Bernardino. And he basically adapted that recipe into his own, and then he started industrializing the shell. But to be honest, I've never seen a shell till I moved to the US. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist in Mexico. Taco Bell has tried to open in Mexico, and as far as I understand, they have always failed because the taco is very alien to people. That taco is very alien to people in Mexico. I don't have a problem with it. It can be good. I just don't think the Taco Bell one is good because right. of the processing, but hard shell tacos can be excellent also, right?
Mm-hmm. So the origin of tacos, what is it that people should understand about it? In one of the introductions of the promotions, we had mentioned that it was a working class staple.
Correct. So it is a modern food that is tied to modernization in Mexico. According to historian Jeffrey Pilcher, the first mentions of taco for food are in mining communities in northern Mexico because people wrap stuff in tortillas to take it to work. As far as Mexico City, which is where I'm from, the first tacos that are central to the life are in the 1920s. And you can track the rise of the taco to the rise on the one side of cities, right? It's an urban food. A lot of it is street food, but also sit-down restaurants tied to cities. It's portable, it's quick, right? It's like our fast food. And on the other hand, it has to do... Tortillas are very hard to make from scratch, so it has to do with the development of technologies that automated the tortillas. This is narrated in the book. Mm-hmm. But now we have these machines that make tortillas by the hundreds automatically. You couldn't have a taqueria without that. So I try to tell the story of the taco as a modern food because it's also a way to tell English language readers to not think of Mexico as a so-called underdeveloped or poor country, but rather as a modern country that has incredible cities, industry, right? And it's also a way to counter stereotypes about Mexico.
Mm-hmm. What stereotypes are the ones that rise in your mind?
So one is Mexico is a poor country, right? The U.S. has received many... working class migrants. Mexico is an unequal country. Some parts are suffering violence, poverty, but we also have outstanding modern cities. We have an industrial base. And I was just reading the news. Mexico not only is the number one seller of manufactured goods to the U.S., but it's also the number one buyer of American exports. And people know the first one, but they don't know the second one. Mm-hmm. So the Mexico that is modern, middle class, is not something that Americans really think of very much. And as a scholar, I think I have a responsibility to show a more nuanced, a more complex version of Mexico rather than just showing what Americans already know, which is poverty, violence. Mm-hmm.
There's also the culture yeah. part of it, yes. which is huge. Mm-hmm. The way that cultures have come together through people and their migrations in and out. Talk a little bit about that part of the taco story.
Yeah, so Mexico is a mixed race and mixed culture country. That includes not only the Spanish and the indigenous heritages and the black heritages that come from the colonial times, but we have a very large wave of migrants from the Middle East and from Turkey and South, like Eastern Europe. Some of them Muslim, you know, Jewish, Christian, everything. And the most iconic taco in Mexico is el taco al pastor. Mm-hmm. And that is actually like a shawarma or a doner kebab. It's just done with pork because the people who did them were not Muslim, so they didn't have the prohibition. But the original ones that are called Arab tacos and you can find in the city of Puebla are condimented not very differently from a gyro or from a doner kebab from Turkey. But, you know, eventually they got marinated, they became red. And when people try to talk about so-called authentic Mexican food, the taco al pastor is something that they show because not everybody makes it in the shawarma because it's a hard thing to make, right? Mm-hmm. So, although, as you probably saw in the book, I don't really believe that there's such a thing as authentic Mexican food.
Right. Well, before we get to that authenticity yeah. point, what makes a taco a taco?
So the Tacopedia, which is a book readers can find that sort of classifies tacos in Mexico, is basically a tortilla with a filling.
That's it. Okay.
So it's very flexible. Of course, the tortilla is also an interesting category because the hard shell is also a tortilla in this concept. Mm-hmm. The flour tortilla, which to me is equally legitimate as the corn tortilla. But there are not everything that is in a tortilla is a taco. A burrito is a different object. So to me, it's not a taco. A quesadilla is a different object. They have different shapes and different structures. So I don't think you can pin it down to like something that is foolproof and fail-safe.
Yeah. So authenticity.
Yeah.
Mexicanidad is central to the way that you understand the taco and write about it. And in the introduction, I had mentioned emojis because they're more than just cute little images. They're symbols.
Yes.
And the taco has become synonymous to some with Mexican foods writ large. Why is authenticity important to talk about when we discuss tacos?
So authenticity is a problematic category. I think that the way it's used the most in Mexico is to demean the culture and the food of Mexican Americans. So that's why I think it has become unacceptable to talk about it, because who are we in Mexico to say that the culture of the Mexicans in Los Angeles is not authentic or Mexican enough, right? Authenticity implies that there's some kind of place in the past where something was invented and you had to be faithful to that, but that's not how food works. Food changes historically. And I think that the book tries to capture the historical change. The tacos al pastor are a migrant food. They're not an indigenous food. Tacos are not an indigenous food. They're a modern food, right? Mm-hmm. And even the other two pieces of information is, one, I don't think people in Mexico, whenever you ask them what is the most important Mexican dish, would say taco. Mexicans in Mexico would probably say mole.
Delicious.
Which is very complex, but it also embodies our mixed race history. And it's a colonial dish in some versions and an indigenous dish in others. The other thing is, if you go to that street food landscape in Mexico, you can find birria, which is a stew, with a packet of ramen dumped in there. We make sushi with mango and plantain. We put chiles rellenos on pizza. So I don't know, a culture that does that, I don't know what moral authority has to come and police what a taco is in the United States, right? We wouldn't want the Japanese to forbid us from putting mango in our sushi. So,
Is this something that you felt, this judgment about authenticity, something that you felt when you came to the United States?
Yes, I had to unlearn it. I think that the authenticity on the one hand is Mexican food is very complex. It's very hard to find that complexity in the U.S. because most U.S. restaurants can only afford make street food. But that is an economic problem, which is many people who would pay for a French or an Italian food, they would not pay for Mexican.
Yes.
And so a lot of the very complex dishes are not economically feasible for restaurants. So we resent that. And the other thing is, we have an American corporation that creates a taco that doesn't exist in Mexico. And then it's the taco that people in Europe and Asia are more familiar with. And Mexicans feel that something was stolen from us because of that. I don't think authenticity is the word for this. I think we really have to understand the taco in its diversity. And to me, the goal should be not to police authenticity, but to show the diversity of Mexican culture to everyone.
And do you think that is happening?
It's beginning to happen. I think most people don't eat Taco Bell thinking that it's real Mexican food, for instance, anymore. That's why they're putting now Cheez-It crackers and stuff like that in them.
Right.
Many of the newer restaurants, like our good friends in Molino del Sureste in St. Louis, they are doing Yucatecan food. So the regional aspects of Mexican food are coming. But El Molino is a good example because they're doing great work. But I think the food might be a little bit of a steep hill for some people who are not familiar with the flavors or the cost. But I would encourage people to really try to go see the diversity of regional Mexican foods and not just eat tacos and or cheap foods, right?
Right, right. This is a great spot for us to take a quick break. We'll be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from the St. Louis Public Library Foundation. During these challenging times, free access to digital resources is a necessity. You can help our community stay connected. Support your St. Louis Public Library at slpl.org.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Ignacio M. Sanchez Prado, WashU professor, scholar of modern Mexican culture, and author of the new book, Taco. Before the break, we were talking about authenticity, about some improvements in what is available locally, and about your wanting to kind of show people a different side of what Mexican culture is through the food. Is there a way that the taco is a gateway?
Yes. The word gateway is interestingly used by Gustavo Arellano, a journalist from Los Angeles, who actually has called the Taco Bell taco a gateway. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that. I think it's almost an impediment, right? Okay. But restaurants by immigrants are a way to understand that culture better because many of them introduce you to the flavors and the habits and the forms of eating, and then that's an encouragement if you start digging a little bit of a rabbit hole to start acquiring other parts of the culture.
Mm-hmm. I will admit, and I don't know whether that's the right way to say this, I tried a taco for the first time in my life when I was a high school student.
Yes.
When my family moved from Southern Ontario in Canada to the Los Angeles area. And the very first taco that I had was at a Taco Bell in the LA area. Then when I went to college in San Diego, I had a exposure to a different kind of Mexican food. The variations that you have talked about, how are those variations, how are they geographically specific throughout the United States?
So some of it is agricultural, right? So flour tortillas are more common in places where they grow wheat, corn tortillas where they grow corn, right? Some of them have to do with regional migrants. So if you go to New York City, a lot of migrants are from Puebla. So you find Puebloan food in there, whereas in other places you have Oaxacan migrants and they have a different kind of thing. One of the problems in the U.S. is those regional differences get erased because a migrant has to cater to the flavor of the people from the place who may not be familiar with the more traditional flavors, right? So to make money, sometimes you have to sell a hard shell taco even though that's not something you ever ate before coming to the U.S. Mm-hmm. So it's always a negotiation. But that also creates new things, right? The hard shell tacos and everything are the result of very specific historical processes and ways of life. And I think we have to respect that. And I don't think I'm someone to come tell a Mexican migrant that their taco is bad because it doesn't look like my taco, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's an arrogant perspective.
You talked before the break about cost.
Yes.
And money is very much a part of what happens when anything becomes transnational.
Yeah.
How has the taco and its sort of ascendancy affected the way economy works in different parts of Mexico?
Well, Mexico has become a cool country now, especially in Mexico City. So we have a lot of U.S. migrants coming to the U.S. as digital nomads and so on. And also Mexico is a wealthy country. So there are upscale, expensive tacos. Instead of being made with industrial tortillas, they're made with heirloom maize by hand, right? They have ingredients that are ancestral, like grasshoppers or trumpet mushrooms, right? And at the same time, they cost a lot more money. Mm-hmm. That taco is hard to find in St. Louis because people wouldn't want to pay what it costs to make an artisanal tortilla, for instance. But the thing is, the taco cuts across class lines, and you can find it from the very cheapest corner outside a Subway all the way to the fanciest restaurant. One of the restaurants in Mexico City, Puyol, which is very expensive, they make an omakase of tacos in a bar.
Omakase.
Mm-hmm. And it's like $250 for like six tacos, you know? And all of them are good. But if you don't wanna pay according to your economic capacity, you are not seeing the diversity of the food.
Mm-hmm. This book, you call the idea of the taco a social object.
Yes.
What do you mean by that, Ignacio?
I'm sure that back in the pre-Columbian era, people wrapped food in tortilla. But that was not called a taco, and people didn't think of that as a taco. It was just sort of a practical way of doing things. The taco, as something that is infused with culture, requires a social practice. Requires for people to actually think of it as that is a taco. You eat it in certain way. It has certain rules. It has certain ingredients. So to me, when I read about taco, it's not about just any food put in a tortilla, but it's also about something that is a concept that people actually live with and use.
And I think that also gets to authenticity again.
Yes.
And what people's expectations are
yeah.
when they have a taco and what they know about it beforehand,
correct.
Right?
Yes. You never have an authentic taco in front of you because that doesn't exist. But you can think of it as authentic because your body is whatever I ate when I was in Mexico when I was a kid, right? And then you come and compare the tacos, let's say, from Seoul Taco. That doesn't look like a taco in Mexico, so then you come and say it's inauthentic. But those tacos are born in L.A., out of the vicinity of Koreans and Latinos, right?
Yes.
So who are we to say that they're not authentic? There's an authentic cultural contact between those two cultures, and it generates that taco. And the taco is already a hybrid food to begin with. So that's why I think the authenticity is something that people think that is a thing, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good to unlearn it. It opens your mind.
There's also the learning part of it.
Yes.
The relationship that people have, particularly many Americans, with Mexican food is absent anything that has to do with Mexican people.
Yeah.
What do you say to that?
Well, I have a chapter called Tacos Without Mexicans, so I'll let your readers explore a little, my readers explore a little bit of that. But on the one level, it's normal, right? So there are tacos. One of my favorite tacos is done by an American chef called Alex Tupac, and it's a taco pastrami. He himself admits it doesn't have a direct connection to Mexico, but it's very good. On the other hand, I think that Mexico and the U.S. are very integrated. That's how I would put it, right? So it's not just a defense of immigration, but it is also a defense of the partnership and friendship between the two nations and how important we are to each other. Mexicans are the biggest migrant group in the U.S., but also Americans are the biggest migrant group in Mexico, which is normal because we're neighbors, right?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, I think that the reason why you want to engage with Mexican culture is because Mexico is very important for all Americans and everybody in the U.S., and I think most people don't know to what extent they're so important.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the same to Mexicans. Mexicans don't understand the U.S. either. To me, that's the challenge. We have to have a quality information in one country about the other, because our politics, our understanding of our neighbors are affected positively or negatively by the quality of that information.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the U.S. and Mexico are friends, and we should be friends, and we should know each other.
So writing about tacos and Mexican culture
yes.
in this moment,
yes.
right, at this time, the U.S. government is discriminating against and targeting people of Mexican descent, and
yes.
this is regardless of citizenship status. This coming out now, what does this mean?
The anti-immigrant sentiment, in some ways, is anti-Mexican sentiment. To me, it is grounded in a series of bad information about who Mexican migrants are, what do they do, what is their contribution to the U.S., I might be kind of naive, but I think that if people knew better, maybe they would tone down some of those ideas. I mean, I have family. My wife is American. Some of her family members vote for President Trump. I don't have any problems with people being conservative, but I do think that some of the things they ask me as a Mexican begin from the fact that they don't know very much. And they have the opportunity to talk to someone like me. And it is true that their views on those things have tempered because I'm in their family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that you can think of that nationwide, that instead of being in this war of bad information and fake news and all of that all the time, we can really try to see just what these people, who people are, what is their culture, why are they here, why is Mexico important, right? That affects things like tariffs. So your food gets more expensive because a lot of that food comes from Mexico. Mexico buys agricultural products from the U.S. If Mexico retaliates, that means that the farmers in Iowa get an economic problem. So those are the kinds of things I wish people knew more about.
Mm-hmm. We've just a few minutes left.
Yeah.
There is a relationship between form and function with
correct.
Tacos, but there's also one with your book, Taco, and its Crónica format.
Yes.
What's the takeaway that people can derive from that, from the Kronika form, and what you want to add to the Taco canon?
Yeah, so the Kronika is a form of writing that comes with cities, and it mixes personal narrative with history, right, with the essay. I think it's something that tries to capture stuff holistically. So I hope that the book captures the Taco, not only the object, but also all the society and history that is around it. And that's what I would like to add. And I have the modesty that I'm from Mexico City, and this book would look very different if a Mexican-American or a Northern Mexican or a Yucatecan or a Oaxacan would have written it. So it's only one perspective, and I hope more perspectives come forward. Mm-hmm.
And the last question, where is your favorite taco in St. Louis?
It is in Molino El Sureste. It's the Taco de Castacan, which is a glorious pork belly taco that people should try.
Okay, I have that on my list. Ignacio Sanchez Prado is a Washington University professor, scholar of modern Mexican culture, and author of the new book, Taco. Ignacio, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Emily Woodbury.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.